This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See?
You were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Shane, Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and Shane books us and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
What I mean, goosebumps. Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Well, 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 good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Soon, not yet, we're going to hang out. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show in the Missing Lawrence formation. I'm your Huckleberry, Matt Spiegel, here with you for the next 35 minutes or so. This is basically an extended Cubs postgame for one of, legitimately, the craziest games in the history of that ballpark. To be able to say that legitimately is insane. Like, I found myself thinking about, and good Friday afternoon, literally, to all of you out there. I hope you got your Easter delicacies ready to go.
Tanny had meat today.
That's too early. It's too early to bury that man. We need him in a good mood the rest of the way. My goodness. I'm making mac and cheese for Sunday. I'm very, very excited about that. Christine is loading up eggs with chocolate for all the kids. And by the kids, I mean people in their 20s and 30s. You know? Let's have a big egg hunt, shall we? I'm in. But my goodness, this ballgame, like, I found myself thinking about some of the games that were referenced by Boog Shambi and Jim DeShays, and I know by Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, the Mike Schmidt 4-home run game, which ended, I believe, by the score of 17-15, I think, or maybe it was 19 to 15. So I found myself thinking about that game or the 23 to 22 game, both of those Cubs and Phillies games in the 70s. Or the Sandberg game, the legendary Sandberg game from 84. That one ended 12-11, very similar to this 13-11 game. I mean, seriously, just some of the bat bleep crazy ball games that this ballpark can provide. And you saw it coming. The wind was blowing out. Every fly ball, there was good contact right away in this game. I texted the group thread. I'm like, I see a 9-8 game here. And then it was 2-0 in the fifth. And then 2-1 for a while. And then all the chaos that followed after that. I thought that the Ian Happ Grand Slam was going to be the story. And then Colin Ray with a pretty good showing. And, oh, that's too bad. It didn't qualify for the win. 4 2/3. Should we change that rule? Oh, let's discuss. You know, the bullpen imploding for the Cubs, which is a major story, salute, and an issue. Bullpen and third base needs to be discussed, and it will. Let's throw open the phone lines as if it is the postgame show, by golly, at 312-644-6767. How about 4 runs on 4 hits for the Diamondbacks in 8 pitches, led by Jordan Wicks, giving up 3 runs on 3 hits. In I think it was 5 pitches, and Eugenio Suarez absolutely owning the Cubs. It's crazy. Suarez was incredible against the Diamondbacks in that series to open the season domestically, and then he's been 6 for 57 since that series. 6 for 57, and of course he hits a grand slam today because that's what he does. The leading active home run hitter in baseball against the Chicago Cubs after all those years with the Reds, and just adores seeing that uniform every time he gets out there. So the Cubs' bullpen implodes, and the bullpen is a major, major issue. The bullpen right now has the third worst ERA among all bullpens in baseball, the second worst walks plus hits per innings pitched among all bullpens in baseball. And you thought, well, they gave up the old 10 spot in the 8th inning. That's probably going to do it because there was horrible defense, principally at third base, which is a major problem in a story. And then it was Carson Kelly again. That guy. Did you see the nugget from Chris Kamka that Carson Kelly has 6 home runs? He's got 4 strikeouts. Guy has more home runs than strikeouts right now. And he's among the leaders in home runs. Jeff Passan threw the numbers out there. If Carson Kelly was a qualified hitter, but he sure does look like a qualified hitter to me, right? Am I right? When you see that guy, he looks qualified. His OPS would be like almost 400 points better than anybody else. He's outrageous. The Cubs catchers are both outrageous. So he strikes back. And then Kyle Tucker strikes back. Kyle Tucker, the man that Tom Ricketts simply has to pay. He has to. And I think in his heart of hearts, he probably knows it. Like, there is nobody who is better suited for you to pay in a moment where you have it available and it's time. It is time. I know that work stoppage looms, but teams are paying people beyond that. The team you're going against, Arizona, they signed Ketel Marte to an extension. Vlad Jr. has an extension. It's time, and Tucker's the man to pay. And then Seiya piles on. It's 13-11. Ryan Pressly comes out, gets his 5th save. He has not blown one yet. I know it feels like Ryan Pressly has been terrifying, but that was mostly early. He's now 5 for 5 in blown saves. It's April 18th. Last year, Adbert Alzolay had blown 5 saves by the 3rd of May. The team blew 17 saves in their first 81 games. Right now, even though the bullpen ERA has been bad, it's been mostly the middle. Mostly the middle. Because Pressly now looks like the guy that he's kind of always looked like, which is just somebody with cojones of steel who's thoroughly unafraid to put the ball over the plate. Go after people with your stuff. It spins well. Go after them. Make them hammer it into the ground or get some weak-ass contact. And even though velocity is down, velocity was kind of down last year too, Ryan Pressly is aggressive and confident. So, man, this thing is, it was just chaotic. And we'll talk about the bullpen a little more. We'll talk about third base a little more. But that was absurdly fun to watch and just enjoy in the offices with Shane and Tanny as I was watching that thing. But it kept getting uglier and uglier and then prettier and then better and then more ridiculous. And something happened to Boog Shambi today. Boog Shambi morphed into two of the more famous broadcasters in the history of this town. This was after what? The 10 spot? I think it was after the Arizona 10 spot in the top of the eighth inning when Boog was distressed.
10 spot here in the eighth.
Holy cow. Diamondbacks scored 10 times and take an 11-7 lead.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
He broke out with a holy cow, but it's a sad holy cow. That's what it is. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe Boog only channels the holy cow when it's sad, Harry. But I remembered, no, there was a holy cow. It's Mike Tauchman in St. Louis rising up above the wall to end a ball game a couple of years ago.
In the air, center field, Tauchman back. Back some more near the wall. And he caught it! What a goal!
Oh, yes, he did! Oh,
holy cow!
Holy cow!
I like it. I like it. I like it. Feel it, Boo. Go for it. And then in the bottom of the absurd eighth inning, when the Cubs put up a six spot in response to the 10 spot, that's when Boog channeled Hawk, or so he thought.
Here's Tucker. Swing and a drive. Right field, way back. We are on top. Kyle Tucker. I kind of Hawk Harrelson did on that. I just couldn't help it. Like,
in what way?
Said we are on top. By the way, this is the 33rd batter in the last inning and a half.
And there were more after that. There were more. We got up to, 36? Something like that. There's never been 16 runs in an inning. I think never in the history of Wrigley, right? 16 combined runs in the eighth were the most at an inning in Wrigley Field history. That is crazy.
Here's Tucker.
Uh-huh.
Swing and a drive. Right field. Way back. We are on top.
You'd have to think it's almost inevitable. We're going to lose this ball game 1-0.
I knew Hawk was coming, but I didn't know what. I thought maybe you could put him on the board or Wegner, what are you doing? I thought maybe we'd get
We're looking for Hawk going full we on us, right?
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, we. So that's the thing, right? That's what Boog is intimating? I think so, yeah.
Because JD was kind of egging him out. I was like, in what way?
In what way? What do you mean? Hell yeah, let it out. Let it out, big fella. I mean, my goodness. It is it is definitely a wee situation.
We really don't have that far to go.
I had friends who were there sitting first row behind the dugout. I got to call him. I got to find out.
John Cusack?
No, it wasn't him.
Marlins man?
No, it wasn't Marlins. I keep guessing, though. Jack White? Wasn't Jack White.
Jim Belushi?
No.
With Jerry O'Connell? They were sitting together.
Were they really?
Yeah.
When? Today?
They were. Yeah. Yeah.
At the game?
Yeah.
Is Jerry O'Connell buying weed from Jim Belushi? That's what Jim Belushi's doing these days, right? Allegedly. Actually, that's not even allegedly. Not,
yeah,
it's totally legal.
It's pretty public. Yeah,
it's a real company.
Okay. Well,
it's out in Oregon, I think.
The allegedly was for Jerry O'Connell. I can't assign weed buying to Jerry O'Connell. I would never do such a thing. I don't want to besmirch that man's pristine reputation.
I think
reputation.
He probably does weed.
I mean, you can join me in besmirching it if need be.
He's a pretty wild and crazy guy.
But that's Steve Martin. So the... I mean, seriously, the chaos of this one, and get all homerish on it, Boog. For God's sakes, this was a day. This was like I was absolutely feeling it. I think everybody was feeling it.
Yeah, you won't see Craig Counsell laugh to begin a post-game press conference too often, I don't think. He seemed to enjoy the absurdity of it all.
Well, Bruce took a tumble that was off camera. I'm just trying to sit down. He took a tumble. He tripped over Sahadev.
Sahadev always sticking the leg out.
And then Cheryl raced out, came and pushed him back over.
Oh, that Cubs beat. Just a laugh riot, 100%. I mean, Council, though, sneaky funny. The other day when Lawrence and Ryan McGuffey were talking to Council and they were asking him about, you know, players being mic'd up. Oh, I heard it there in his voice. Like, well, do they ask you, Craig? No. They tell me. They tell me.
Well, if I would have told you going into this game, the Cubs will give up 10 runs late in the game,
yeah,
and Craig Council will laugh in the postgame. I was like, uh-oh, something bad, really? Something bad happened.
Nobody has had a 10-run inning in MLB this year until that, and then they lost. Just absolutely crazy. You know what's crazy? The NL West is really, really good. We can talk about that in a second. But I threw out the phone number, and some of you have called. It's Mark in St. Charles on 670 The Score. Mark, it's sort of an extended post game, bleeding into Spiegel and Holmes on The Score. What's up?
Dang gummit! hey, I'd rather be on top in April, winning a stupid game like that. It just reminded me of Cubs versus Colorado years ago, where Cubs were down 8 runs, but. The reason why I called is I'd rather win a game like this with a bad bullpen and have an opportunity to fix it.
No, I absolutely agree with that. You need the roster churn of the bullpen that is going on right now. All right, let's see if Luke Little can come up and throw strikes in the big leagues. That answer is no. After he walked the bases loaded, then walked in a run in San Diego the other day. All right, let's see if Jordan Wicks can adjust on the fly to life as a left-handed reliever out of the bullpen. Today, that answer was no, but he gets another couple of shots. Because I'll tell you what, Colin Ray is going to stick as that fifth starter, and he should. Thought the broadcast did a great job talking about the lower arm slot, which is leading to that two-seamer having a lot more movement, and he's humping it up there at 95. He's throwing a two-seamer at 95 that's got funky movement, and he's spotting everything else. He's absolutely an adult and a professional and was really, really good today. So Colin Ray gets the next couple of starts for sure in that spot. Ben Brown tomorrow, they move things around a little bit to give Ben Brown an extra day or two with an eye towards the fall. So that means they're thinking about Ben Brown as a starter long term. I'll tell you one thing the Council did today that I would like to see him not do. And that is the thing where everybody just gets one inning. I hate this, like, commonplace MLB bullpen thing where guys usually just get one inning. Not everybody has a big pile of trustworthy dudes like Cleveland last year, or like the Dodgers ended up with, or like even like Ned Yost did when he went 7, 8, and 9 with the Royals. Brad Keller should have stayed out there for another inning to me. And then Merriweather all of a sudden is later in the game. And he still probably would have used Hodge, and he's the one who didn't have it in a big way today. But this thing, like reverse engineering it for the ninth, I'm cool with. Reverse engineering it for Hodge in the eighth and Merriweather in the seventh when Keller was great in the sixth and can obviously give you bulk. Let a guy stay in there for another inning. Buy yourself another inning. And then maybe you don't have to use every single person for one inning. So I don't like that. But, you know, maybe the Council's bullpen philosophy will continue to evolve. In general, I absolutely love that there's some roster churn. Ethan Roberts, can you pitch in the big leagues? Answer might be no. After with that look on his face after he gave up a 3-run bomb. So, look, there are issues, but figure them out now. This is when to figure them out now. By the way, Ryan Pressly did not get his fifth save. He got the win. So he didn't get a save. He got the win. Because this is that moment where the starting pitcher doesn't go 5 innings and the official scorer is allowed to just assign the win to anybody he wants. Anybody he wants to assign the win to. So couldn't he still assign it to the starting pitcher? I guess he can't because he didn't go the requisite 5. So then that means he could have given it to Brad Keller.
What are you saying? Bad teammate? Yeah. Wow. You heard it here first.
Julian Merriweather could have given it to Merriweather.
Wild pitch. Yeah. Wild pitch.
Thank you, Bob Rosenberg. But instead, he gives it to the closer. What are you doing? Give the guy a save, for God's sakes. Give the win to Brad Keller. He hasn't had one in a while. Shane, please look up Brad Keller's last win.
No.
There it is. Look, I'll do it myself. Forget it. I'll do it live. We'll do it live.
Did he get one with the White Sox? No, he didn't even.
Brad Keller?
No, I don't think he made it to the big club, did he? Right?
Nah, I don't think so. He just had a whiff of White Sox life, which must have smelled great, by the way. Must have done like, oh, is that, what do I smell? Yep, that's White Sox life.
Who are the Chicago White Sox?
They're part of the pop culture zeitgeist. They are a Jeopardy clue, is who they are. Look, Vidal Brujan was at third base early, and then Gage Tater Workman was at third base late. Sorry, you got a Brad Keller win for me, Shane?
Still going. Nothing in 2024.
Okay.
Last win was April 12th of 2020. May 10th of 2023. It was a win against the White Sox.
Who are the Chicago White Sox?
Yep. Who are they?
Can't make that up, people. Yep. Should have given it to Brad Keller today. Would have been his first win in almost 2 years.
Who cares? He's a bag.
What?
Brad Keller?
I guess he was. Huh? He's the dude who hit TA, right?
Yeah. Are you shocked that the two Irish guys on the side of the glass are holding a grudge? What was that? Is that a five-year-old grudge now?
Even more.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. But no, I'm not surprised. I heard this joke. As long as you went Irish, can I tell an Irish joke? Probably not, right?
Sure,
we'll allow it.
Okay.
But
thanks, guys. The two Irish guys are at a bar, and they leave the bar, and there's a fight going on in the parking lot, and they walk over and tap the guys who are having the fight on the shoulder and say, excuse me, is this a private fight, or can we get in here on this one?
That's so offensive. That's incredible. I can't believe you just said that.
Wow, we may have to take Monday off.
And on the weekend of a Jewish holiday.
This is not.
No, that was last weekend.
It doesn't matter. You guys have so many.
Actually, it's still this weekend. But it's also
your
holiday.
How long does it go?
8 days. Eight.
How many crazy nights?
Wait, is it? No, excuse me. It's 10 days. It's 10 days.
Oh, okay.
Now that you mentioned
How much it. Oil do you need to get through those 10 days?
Yeah, that's a different holiday.
Oh, damn.
There's no oil involved in this one.
Do you have to sign a 10-day Jewish contract? You get on board with that?
Yeah, is it back and forth?
Yeah, it's the injured list. It really is. It used to be the disabled list. Now it's just the Jewish injured list.
Two-way.
So anyway, they should have given Brad Keller the win. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Vidal Brujan does not look like a third baseman because he's not a third baseman. He's more of a middle infielder. And they used him at third today. He was awfully shaky defensively. There was an error early. There was a double clutch on what could have been a double play ball a little bit later. He did hit a double, but he also took a called third strike with the bases loaded and nobody out before Ian Happ's grand slam. And I'm thinking, all right, I don't know if that guy's the answer. It's his first time. I didn't think he was the answer when they traded for him. They gave up Matt Mervis for him. Matt, how many home runs does Matt Mervis have, Shane, to the internet?
Five, I think.
I think it's six.
I think it is six. He homered on his birthday the other day. Mash Mervis is getting some run down there.
Happy birthday, Mike.
He's doing a lot with it. He's got as many as Carson Kelly.
I mean, but that's
sakes.
All he's doing. His WAR is 0.2 right now.
Well, Shane and I had this discussion yesterday right?
Yeah.
He was criticizing the six bombs from Mash Mervis, and I said, how many would he lead the White Sox in home runs currently if he were a White Sox?
Yes, 100%.
And he triples the leader.
By four, yes. Yeah, the leader, Brooks Baldwin.
That is
got
amazing.
Two with two. That at least is, you can pick a favorite.
That is something. Which was your
12th round pick, Brooks Baldwin?
Wow. Well, you know, even 12th round picks deserve homers every once in a while. But that's awfully sad. So look, Vidal Brujan at third base, then Gage Workman at third base. That error by Workman, where the glove just didn't come all the way down to the ground over there. And neither of those guys look like the third base answer. Obviously, Matt Shaw, as of right now, is not the third base answer. This is now 12 different people who have played third base since opening day last year. They had seven different guys play that position last year. None of them are back. Isaac Paredes, obviously, is in Houston. That's the one guy who's, you know, who shows the ability to be a regular there. And now Turner's played there a little bit, obviously, and Workman and Birdie and Brujan and Shaw. So, look, at this point, it should be John Birdie. It should be John Birdie every day. And to me, John Birdie would be a great bottom-of-the-roster guy to pinch run and come in and be your backup in multiple positions. But at this point, you just got to let him play third base every day. I think you have to. And that place is still a black hole. And it has been a black hole in this organization intermittently for decades. Is that a thing? Did I just make that up? Can something be a black hole intermittently for decades? I think it can, because between Ron Santo and Aramis Ramirez was a really rough go at third base. And then since Aramis Ramirez, between Ramirez and Chris Bryant was a really rough go. And now post-Chris Bryant, it's looking like a very rough go. And you find yourself looking around the league. All right, who's available? What third basemen are available? How much would it take to get Ryan McMahon away from Colorado? You know what? I had somebody text me the other day. You know who's playing third base in Detroit these days?
Javi Baez.
That's right. Maybe if the Tigers ate some money, you could bring Javi Baez back and play. I shut that one down.
That's fast. A lot of eating.
That is some gluttonous money eating.
Black holes can be intermittent.
They can?
They can transition between being actively taking in material or being dormant or sleeping.
This is what happens when your son wants to be an astrophysicist, you know?
Not a talk show host? It,
no, he's not interested in that, and he knows why. But they got to go out there and get some things done. That is for damn sure. At third base, and maybe the bullpen as well. Texters saying, try Moises Ballesteros at third. No, he's a catcher and maybe a DH. You're forgetting Gary Gaetti. No, I'm not. He just didn't kind of deserve to get mentioned. Another one. Do you think it's a good idea to sign Rizzo to play first, move Bush to second, and Nico to third? No, that's too much movement. I don't think Anthony Rizzo's back is going to allow him to play right now. Anthony Rizzo and Jose Abreu, two street free agents out there doing what street free agents do. Now, let's not go down that road again. Let's not do that. We don't need to. I know you want to. Here's a thought that I had today. There's a lot of stuff going on, by the way. The Bulls are lucky that the Cubs game happened like it did, or I'd be spending a long segment on this show today ripping them for the dismissal of Peter Patton, the president, the director of player development and the shooting coach. I'd be spending a lot of time doing that, but we'll do it on Monday. The Aaron Rodgers is lucky today, or else he was going to get just a paddling, a verbal paddling from me. That's what was going to happen for Aaron Rodgers, for his ego masquerading as enlightenment yet again. That's right. I'm going to tell you all the things I was going to do today. You guys are lucky because I was going to use a terrible Justin Ishbia tease, just a horrendous tease with a pun that I was really, really proud of. I was going to use that today, but I didn't. You know, the one thing we got to get in, we got to make sure to get in our final few minutes of the weekly show, is that Chris Tannehill tried Portillo's breakfast today. And I will not rest until I hear how what looked like a Polish sausage with scrambled eggs and cheese on French bread. Was that your breakfast sandwich today?
Indeed it was. Yeah, so Portillo's is doing they're rolling out a special breakfast menu in a few locations. I'm lucky enough to be close to the Niles location out there on Dempster. And it's a trial thing. They're seeing if it works, I guess, for them. And they've got a Polish sausage with egg on some French bread. They've got like a standard bacon, egg, and cheese. They've got hash browns. They've got some other stuff. And they also, more importantly, they've got a collaboration. It's Portillo's chocolate cake donuts in tandem with Stan's donuts. So Portillo's and Stan's in some sort of unholy, sacrilegious unification there. It was unbelievably good, obviously.
Yeah, that is culinary incest.
Tanny elite at breakfast.
I don't stop at dinner, folks. What can I say? I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to run up the score. But yeah.
It's culinarily incestuous is a better way of saying it.
But it was so good. So highly recommend it. So if you like, you know, who doesn't like a Portillo's chocolate cake? So it's that,
it's the best.
But a donut. So
and did it taste like it? Did Stan's use mayo, which is the Portillo's secret?
I don't know if they use mayo.
Yeah, see, you can't do that.
Portillo's is making the donuts. I think the Stan's is making the actual cake part, and then Portillo's puts their chocolate spin on it. Yeah, so I don't know if they're – that's a good question. You know, we may have to – Shane, efforting Portillo's.
Seriously.
What's his name, Tom? Tom Portillo?
Dick Portillo was the guy. Whoa. If he's still with us, yeah.
How could he not be with us? What was his diet? Did it cause him some trouble with his heart?
Also, the whole mayo thing kind of bothers me because all mayo is, in the end, is olive oil and eggs. That's it. And that's going to be in cake no matter what. If you're making a good cake, you're putting olive oil and eggs in it.
Not the olive oil necessarily.
If you're making a good, I said if you're making a good cake.
Oh, with vegetable oils.
Oh, you're a seed oil guy. I didn't know that. Maybe you should listen to RFK more.
Maybe I should. How about high fructose corn syrup? What's more natural than that? You know?
Red number five.
Yeah, just go right for it. I mean, but that sounds amazing. It looks amazing. I'm incredibly excited to try Portillo's breakfast at some point. This has been your afternoon show. I'm Matt Spiegel. I'll be back on Sunday for it. Oh yeah, we'll be right back.
Did you bring the bow?
You know what? I will. I'll bring the. I'll use the bow and I'll tie it on this show when we come back on The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a wrap.
Thank you so much to Chris Tannehill and to Shane Reardon for doing a tremendous job on today's little shorty of a show. What do we got coming up next, boys? I see Alex Kuhn.
Well, it's best of, so they'll probably just replay our show from right now.
I don't know what are you gonna find something better?
No, we got some good stuff coming up. We got Matt Miller from yesterday from our show.
Excellent.
We got Wani. Yeah.
So. Excellent. Excellent.
Some of the best of the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good stuff.
All the best people.
That is the good stuff right there. This has been the Spiegel and Holmes Show. On 670 The Score, I will be with you on Sunday morning for Hit and Run from 9 o'clock until about 12:45. Cubs play at 1:20. Doug Glanville among the guests for Hit and Run on Sunday. And then me and Lawrence back with you on Monday for Draft Week and the Chicago Bears. Thanks so much for listening to 670 The Score. Have a wonderful, wonderful few days, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen. The weekend.